quite small, so we'll just work off the presentation, if that's okay. Can I just ask, who has seen the Metal Tiger presentation before in some capacity? Quite a few of you, okay. From the last time we kind of did it on the flip chart, we might use the flip chart again just because it annoys Andrew immensely. I'm not that negative about where we are because I'm old enough to have seen a few of these cycles now, and we're sat at a wonderful time when the prices are horrendously low and we're all feeling a bit kind of beaten up and our shares are falling in value dramatically. I did mention this to our chairman at Metal Tiger, Terry Grammer, who some of you may be aware of. He's a long-standing geologist and has made quite a few small companies like Metal Tiger in from 2 or 3 million cap companies into dramatically valued companies. The most recent one, Sirius Resources, that they sold for a dramatic amount of money when it was a value a few years ago that was not too dissimilar from where Metal Tiger is today. He's not concerned in the slightest about where we are in terms of valuation-wise or sector-wise or whatever. He thinks it's fantastic, and he's more excited than any other time in his career with regard to the potential that we have within the sector. So we're really buoyed up and enthused and excited. We've got some materials for you. I've had them printed quickly. We couldn't do it earlier because we had a bit of news, so we just had them printed yesterday, or I think it was yesterday. But it gives you a bit of a flavour. This is our two-pager. It's on our website. It gives you an overview of our business presentation. We change this about once a month at the moment. Probably we'll carry on doing that during 2016 as the business kind of moves forward. Shares Magazine, we got an extra 100 copies of these as part of the deal when we had an article produced in the centre. So this is kind of our own piece with Shares editorial added in, but it gives you a good overview of the business again. We think communications are important, so you'll see us everywhere. We will do anything and everything with regard to market communications to get the message out. The audience is changing constantly. There's new people coming into the market. There's people who have never invested in resource shares before taking a look. And you can't assume that the audience that you had 3 months ago is the same as the audience today. So we continuously come out with interviews, Proactive Investors, Mining Maven, the events up here in the Midlands. We're going to carry on doing it. We release large amounts of news. Last year, I think it was 77 RNS releases. Cut out the regulatory stuff. You're still seeing one RNS a week on our business development, business progress, and that will carry on during 2016 as well. As a business, we started out in 2014. We took over Brady Exploration and we morphed into Metal Tiger. We felt it was a good time in the market because the resource shares have been quite low for a number of years, and we thought it was a good time to start investing in resource opportunities. We got our timing slightly wrong. We were probably 6 or so months early and should have waited a little bit longer. What you can't do is wait until the recovery, because if you wait until the recovery, the asset prices in the areas that you're looking at start to rise quite dramatically, quite quickly. So you have to be buying and developing your business right at the bottom, and that's what we tried to do with Metal Tiger. We started out by trading quite a bit. We made a lot of money off Kibo Mining. £1 million or so going into the coffers early doors is always a nice boost for a company such as ours. Trading has been probably for the market the predominant focus of our activities, and that's understandable because we've made a reasonable amount of money. But trading is a tiny part of our business now. Over the last 18 months we've been buying interests in major projects in various places around the world, and I'll give you a very brief summary of where we are with that shortly. We're changing our business model as we speak. We gave an announcement to market recently with a business review of 2015, talking about what we've done in that period, and we're hopefully quite soon going to give a full announcement about what our plans are for the future, and our business will be significantly different from what it is at the moment, and unfortunately what you see in the presentation. The assets won't necessarily change dramatically, but our approach will do. People are not going to get excited going forward about us being traders. We might be reasonably good at buying and selling shares, but unfortunately that's not going to get people excited. The big money in our game is in buying into very, very high value projects when they're valued at nothing, and that's what we've tried to do. The board of Metal Tiger is made up of four people. We have Terry Grammer, who's a very, very well-known geologist in Australia. Very astute. I've sat with him now in numerous meetings with geologists from around the world, and he's on the button. He knows what he's talking about. He's identified three main projects for us so far. Golden Tungsten in Spain. We have antimony, gold, copper in Thailand, and a few other interesting things as well. And we've just taken on a copper-silver project in Botswana. Each of these opportunities is substantial and way beyond anything we could have hoped to acquire 18 months ago when we started the business. And now we're sat at the bottom of the resources cycle. We've got a reasonable working capital position. We've got three potentially substantial projects, maybe more than substantial, that we can take forward. And we've got Terry Grammer, who is probably one of the best in the business, who's giving us guidance and direction along the way. I'm a chartered accountant. I'm an executive director of Metal Tiger. Cameron Parry is Australian, but we don't hold that against him. He's based in London, lives in London, and he is the CEO of the business. And we have Alex Borelli, who's been around the markets in London, who's a non-exec director of the business, who helps us with the corporate side of what we do and make sure that our public company functioning is acceptable. So a good mixed board with some good people on it with different skills and different approaches to life. By ourselves we probably couldn't do a very good job, but as a team of four people I think we've got the right mix for this stage in the cycle. So where we are, just to annoy you because you're moving the camera around there quite a bit, as a business, we're not going to run the business as you often find within our space. At this point in time, look at most resource companies, they're apologising for their existence. They're hibernating and they're trying to fight to stay alive. We're aggressively pushing our business forward, spending as much money as we physically can without completely blowing the bank balance and causing us to have to raise money at significant discounts. All of the money that was raised from the markets in 2015 was done at or around the mid price with a one-for-one warrant at twice the price. That model is something we'd like to try and maintain as much as we can. We could pick up quite a large amount of money tomorrow if we're prepared to heavily discount the price. Not as much of a discount as many companies have to suffer at the moment, but we don't want to hack away our existing shareholder base by doing heavily discounted placings. It's just not a model that we want to run our business by. It means that we can't spend as much as we would like on our projects, but to be quite frank at the moment, if you spend a large amount of money on projects, the market doesn't care anyway. So moderate expenditure, as aggressively pushed as we can in the right areas, building the value of what we've got is the absolute key. So Metal Tiger at the moment trades with the ticker MTR on AIM. Market cap at the moment is about £3.2 million, 374 million shares in issue. Board own 12.2% as it stands. We would buy more, but we're constantly locked in with close periods. It's a nightmare for us. We're active almost continuously. In the latter part of 2015, we had an open period in July. We weren't open again until when our chairman put in £250,000 in December. Within a few days of that period, that open period starting, we were closed again because we had further potential news flow in the background. It's a constant nightmare for active companies to buy shares or for directors of companies to buy shares on AIM. Well, that's pretty much where we sit at the moment. And there are two divisions. The first division, which we've marketed, is the direct equities. This is where we do our buying and selling of stock. Sometimes we go direct and buy at board level, so we'll have negotiations with other resource companies and we'll put money into those companies, usually with a shares and warrants package, and sometimes we buy on the market. This division is very nice, but it's not our key focus of operations. It's the second division that really matters for us, and this is the direct projects division. Now, in the market's eyes in 2015, so I've just got off a plane from Thailand, so just writing on the board is a bit tricky. In the market size over the last 12 months, the focus has been entirely over here. And the serious traders in the market, they say, okay, well done Metal Tiger for making £1 million off Kibo. But, you know, we buy and sell shares every day of the week. This is what we do. We don't want to buy into you as a proxy for what we already do in our own lives. But what they haven't perhaps focused on is this side of the business, the direct projects. So our business is morphing, and we're going to be really focused on projects going forward. Okay, and at the moment we have three projects of significant substance within our business. And this has kind of come about over the last 12 months mainly. We have Thailand, which is massively underexplored. At the moment, people worry in Thailand about the military government, because when we think about, you know, non-civilian governments, military control, you think things are problematic. Things happen under military governments when there is a degree of discipline, and we find on the ground that we operate perfectly effectively. We find that the prospectivity in country is amazing. Most people are scared off from operating in this type of environment. We're not. We have good relationships locally. And we have access to some of the most phenomenal opportunities available, I think, potentially in the resources world today. Our current focus, or our focus in 15, has been on Chanthaburi, which is an antimony gold copper opportunity. Initial exploration has been positive. We've found some interesting, shall we say, resource mineralization. We've applied for additional licensing in the area. We have to be careful what we say, because you don't want to give too much competitive advantage away. But we're building in Chanthaburi, and the business in this is east of Bangkok, and the business is growing quite nicely. We've also recently signed an option with our Thai partners to take over their entire business activities in Thailand, and most of their work is focused on a silver lead zinc mine, which is northwest of Bangkok. This is a mine that operated for many, many years and closed down in 2002 because of metal prices. It has full infrastructure on site. It's got everything all the way through from about 30 kilometres of underground passageways that have been hewn out of the rock. It's got full, with some need for refurbishment very locally, infrastructure in terms of roads. Right up to the mine. It's got a full processing mine on site. Full processing mine. All the equipment's there. It's a bit rusty. It needs to be cleaned off. It needs new electrical work. It needs some investment in some new motors, and so on and so forth. But the entire operation is there. And at the moment we have applications, or our joint venture partner has applications all around this current mine. And they've been working for a number of years on bringing the mine back into production, and we have full mine data available for this facility. It's unique. Most companies such as ours would try and find a piece of ground that looks prospective. Go and see if they can find a bit of mineralisation. And if they can, see if there's enough there, and is it commercial, has it got the right metallurgy, then how much would it cost to build a mine, put all the infrastructure in. In Thailand, no one's noticed that we potentially, with this option with our partners, could have access to a mine that was producing a vast quantity of metal, that has a 43-101, a mine plan, has partial feasibility work. If you could put in place the refurbishment work needed tomorrow and have all the mine permits, it could produce tomorrow. It's ready to go almost, and we are working our way through in Thailand trying to get this opportunity into the business. Now, it takes some time, it takes lots of trips to Thailand, lots of meeting people, getting relevant approvals done. But this is not a 10-year process. This is a very, very short-term process if we can get our ducks lined up in a row. We could have a major interest in major silver, lead, zinc production sites. And if you have a look, and the links are in the presentation, to our joint venture partner's website, you can see pictures of an enormous underground mine with all the processing facilities already there. And this...
What's the size of the residual deposit?
In terms of the...
The actual resource.
The actual resource. The 43-101 details are on the website. There's at the moment, there's about 5 million tonnes. There's enough to keep it running for quite a few years. If the mine is there, forgive my drawing again. Our applications are around. If one applies sensible geological assumptions, I'm not a geologist, but I'm told if one applies sensible geological assumptions based on the data that they have available, this is a multi-decade production opportunity around the mine. In fact, it could be much longer than that. They just simply haven't done the work. Our job is to work with our local partners to secure, if possible, agreements with the mine owners. In the middle. If we're able to do that, the next stage of the process is to start the permitting locally, but we are working with the very best people who understand this. The mine engineer who was working on the mine whilst it was in production is available and working with us. He's 79 years of age, full of life and enthusiasm. The local community are obviously infused by the potential for 400 jobs to suddenly arrive back in an area which is, you know, relatively poor, but there is a reasonably skilled workforce there, so we can tap into that. The all the infrastructure up to the mine is there, the power supply is there, the water, the roadway, the very localised roadway is, it's jungle based effectively, so it does kind of take back the roads. But we're, with a little bit of work and money, then we can refurbish those and have them running again. We need to look at how precisely how much of the order of actually bringing the equipment back into good use. But it's we're told that the majority of the equipment is okay, just surface rust that needs to be cleaned off. In most cases, it should be capable of being used. And we need to start to do a little bit of exploration drilling just to bring some of this potential resource back into a little bit more updated information. On the site there is a full office, there's everything that you would expect from mine. It's like the land that time forgot. If you walk into the offices, literally like they walked out of the office 13, 14 years ago and didn't go back, with coffee cups and newspapers on the side from 13 years ago. All the mine plans are all there, all the data's there. We've digitalised a very large amount of information already from the mine. All of the useful stuff that we can easily grab is there. We do need to spend a bit more time working through the old maps and paperwork to see if there's anything more useful, but there's a vast amount of information. The core sheds are all intact. Again, a little bit run down because they haven't actually been fully maintained for the entire period, but there is a full site staff there in terms of tick over. There's a full operating school on site. There's a football field on site. This is the size of operation that they used to run there. And a full facility available. If we can bring this with our partners and with various others that we would need to bring in back into operation, it would be a substantial asset. And in turn, we have a preliminary indications with regard to whether it could produce profitably, and we have to be very careful what we say on that front, but we are entirely confident that this is a highly profitable facility. And even with depressed metal prices, with the right planning and the right organisation, then we're comfortable that it's a profitable operation pretty much in all circumstances. So very exciting for a tiny company such as ours to have access to this kind of opportunity, but it's one step at a time, and that's why I've been in Thailand three times now in the last 3 or 4 months. They've started to notice. They're in the between the second and third visit. They're doing. There's more staff around. They're starting to do more cleanup operations for us. There are brushes, brooms, everywhere. The offices are starting to look a little bit more ordered. It's hugely exciting, and I could take any of you around individually and show you, and you would be stunned by what's there. It's literally the land that time forgot, and ready to go.
How did you get to that stage? And what's been left?
How
has it reached that point where it's semi-abandoned or?
It's basically the family that owned the mine ran it with a German company, Metal Gesellschaft, for a number of years. When the metal prices fell down, they kind of stopped producing. The original intention was to go back and start again when things firmed up, but they never really firmed up enough. Family businesses sometimes are a little bit tricky to handle, and particularly businesses in this part of the world. So it can take a little bit longer to get things to work unless you do it in the right way, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
And it really is like they've just walked out the door. And we in terms of our approach, it has to be very nice and steady and paced. It's important that the whole team gets to know the people. We have very good relationships with all of the key people, including the owners of the mine. They deserve a respectful approach by a Western company, effectively, to how we handle the relationship with them. And we will spend more time with them, because what we would like to do is have a fair outcome for everybody, so that everybody benefits from this. Once we get to a certain stage of technical development, the finance is available to bring it back into production. For Asian finance would be potentially local Thai finance. Would be the obvious solution for it. It's not a vast amount of money, given the potential of the asset. But the first thing is for us to secure the option with our partners and to take over effectively their interests. We're using the same team all the way through, so the people who whose business we're acquiring, seen through the option, it's the same management team who would then carry forward. They'll effectively then have an equity interest in Metal Tiger and an equity interest in the project. And they've been working there for a number of years. We've been there for 7 or 8 years now working on this. This is our kind of key focus at the moment. We've been spending money in Thailand. Very few other people have, big or small companies. We spent money on Chanthaburi in 2015. It's been noted by the ministry that we are spending money, whereas everyone else is running in the opposite direction. We're very vocal about how confident we are that you can work in country, because you can. And we go there on a regular basis, and it's absolutely fine. And it's literally step by step. So sign the option with our partners, carry on the negotiations locally to try and form a sensible commercial deal that makes sense for everybody. Spend some money, not huge, vast quantities, just making sure all the technical information is brought up to date. And then once we get to that point, we then make some serious decisions about moving the mine forward. But at the moment, we have applications in place all around for the exploration side, which is important for a long-term mine, because in the mine itself, there's plenty of ore that you can literally take tomorrow. It's all there, you can see it. There's lots of data available around it. This is the long-term potential of the mine, and we have all the data recently with regard to mine planning and bringing the mine back into operation within the joint venture arrangement, and this is what we're looking to acquire. So we're in a very good position, but until we finalise any commercial negotiations locally, we can't move it forward. But we're on the cusp.
obviously from a market perspective, you've got to be careful and sensible about what you say. But this is massively company changing for us if we can make it work. So the effort is going in. And in the meantime, we have other exploration interests around Thailand that are producing some interesting findings. So that's in itself, if we didn't have this, Thailand would be useful for us at the moment because of what we're finding elsewhere. But this is the prize.